Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Back from the break, of course. I hope you had a great New Year and holiday. And yeah, Adam and I are just getting right at it today. And we'll talk about our long romantic walks together and our wishes for the new year. Before we get into it, though, of course, 260 million Facebook users had their names, ID, and phone numbers exposed, making them targets for spam, phishing, scams, and identity theft. Guess what? I'm talking about LifeLock. That's right. Good thing we have LifeLock. We like the ability to use the internet. We like the freedom. We like the convenience. But, you know, just like the advent of other technologies like the vehicle, like an automobile, you had to create things like insurances and you had tire expenses. Well, that's why there's something like LifeLock to protect you. And you could miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit, of course. Good thing there's LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity thefts, like, say, your Social Security number for sale on the dark web. Oof. If you become a victim of identity theft, U.S.-based restoration specialists will work to fix it. Right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got you. And welcome to 2020.
Crazy, right?
Crazy. I'm Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew over there. Dr. Drew's board-certified
physician. Yeah, yeah.
What's going on, Broseph?
New Year, man. Here we are. I had the privilege of doing the ACS show today, which was nice. Thank you for letting me do that.
Mm.
And in that show, we reviewed my visit to the White House. And mm-hmm. I don't suggest we redo all that here. I just think people should go to ACS and listen to it there.
It's very compelling stuff, and Drew's a passionate man.
Yeah. And you sort of made fun of me for the case I made, but I have trouble understanding how people cannot go along with it. When three people are dying every day, that there's no will to try something a little different. Just try a couple things. Just a couple things. And I don't know what to say to these people who are just counting bodies in the street every day.
Well, to be fair, we do this sort of every life is precious and nobody's left behind and blah, 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 and every child is precious and blah, blah, blah. But we as a society have a much different view of serial killers that are preying on streetwalkers, meaning prostitutes,
yeah,
versus breaking into houses in Encino,
okay,
and killing white people in their bedroom.
All right,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So first things first, we've diminished.
I see this,
the populace,
the street people don't. You don't. Nobody actually cares about them.
Not really. They say they do, but they most the women and men who claim to want to be a part of this or fix it or what can we do or whatever it is would be much more horrified if you just swapped out dogs with people.
So what really that you're getting at is what they're just acting out their own sort of you're not the boss of me BS. Like, don't do that to those people, man. Without
yeah.
any real concern for them. Without any and certainly no understanding of what's going on. They have deadly illnesses and are dying.
Yeah, but they're not first things first, they're not interested in them dying or flourishing,
it's
really,
just,
honestly.
It's just
they're homeless.
Ugh.
They're homeless like they're homeless. You know what I mean? Like when you're driving to Santa Barbara and you see some like prison road crew on the side of the 101 like cleaning up garbage, you don't stop and think or my heart goes out or whatever. You just kind of keep driving. I mean, that's kind of how we're wired.
Well, I don't mind people not caring and not noticing. But them getting involved in the discussion?
Well, what I mean is three dead a day doesn't mean anything to most people. It means something to you. It doesn't mean most. It doesn't mean something to Los Angelinos.
Ugh.
That's number one.
They
never articulate because they're homeless people, but that's what they mean. That's what they feel. I know that's the way they feel because otherwise they'd take to the streets and with torches and protests, you know, surround the mayor's house, right? mansion. So there's that point. The other thing is there is no sense of urgency to fix anything at any time, especially in California. There's just the schools don't work or the airport doesn't work or what about that stretch of highway? It's like the answer is who cares? Never. Never.
We're working on other stuff.
There's something. Whatever. There was no completion.
Yep.
There is a
stretch
of the 5 freeway that goes between this warehouse and the Burbank Airport, and they've just been working on it for 11 years. Mm. And there's no sense of anything. Now, when the stretch of the 10 freeway collapses after the 94 earthquake and they tell the contractor, we'll give you $500,000 for every day you come in under your budgeted time, that guy comes in 41 days early because he's been motivated.
Yeah.
And that's the way human beings work.
Right.
So I think what we're looking at in our own bizarre way is you and I look at life as through one lens, which is if these people are motivated, if the guy who's the building contractor who's going to fix up the 10.
Yeah.
10 is the Santa Monica Freeway, and it just kind of goes right through the heart of the city. And when that thing was incapacitated in 1994, people knew that that thing needed to be fixed pronto.
Yeah.
Like every day that thing was out was going to be chaos in a place that was already chaotic from a traffic standpoint. So,
God, can you imagine that today?
Yeah. So somebody got hold of the contractor, and I'd be curious who was mayor at that particular point. It definitely is not a Garcetti move, and it's definitely not a Villa Retardo move.
Yeah.
But somebody got hold. Somebody
might have been still Bradley.
No, I don't think Tom Bradley was.
94.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Bradley had a long run. The point is this. We may have been Reardon.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to do something. The point is that somebody said, look, this thing's affecting us big time, and we need a contractor to fix it, and we don't want him to take off long weekends and holidays. We want that crew going 24/7. Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So then they thought, well, how do we ensure that? And then they cut it. It was Reardon. Of course it was Reardon. It was a fucking Republican because that guy wanted fucking fix shit instead of talk about good vibes and when everyone comes together and all that kind of shit, right?
Yeah.
All right. So he said to somebody, we'll give you $1 million or $100,000 for every day you're under. We'll give you 30 days or we'll give you 90 days. And for every day you're under, you get $100,000. And the contractor, who's neither good nor bad, said, I want that $100,000.
The invisible hand.
The invisible hand. Mm-hmm. So that guy worked with his guys, and I bet he had to kick something down to them.
Mm.
And he had to show them a little invisible hand. He couldn't say just work Sunday at standard pay. He had to give them golden time, or he had to motivate them.
Yep, yep.
And then they did the whole thing. The guy got $14.5 million for being 74 days early, so says Gary.
I'll read and find the exact breakdown.
So it's like $200,000 a day.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
So, horrible student. So we wanted it done, and a month and a half is a damn long time of bad traffic if you're commuting through that. Sorry, 2.5 months.
Yeah.
2.5 months if you're commuting. So, okay, Reardon wanted it done. This guy wanted $14.5 million. His subs and the guys who worked for him probably he didn't pocket the $14.5. He kicked $2 million of it down.
Oh, at least.
At least to motivate those guys. Yep. And then we, as the citizens of Los Angeles, got our road up and running 2.5 months earlier than we thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Then there's the 5 to Burbank. Well, there's none of that.
No.
And thus we're going on year 11 of probably a project that's not as wasn't as tall as this project. We're going into year 11. Okay. So people have this He pocketed $8 million after paying overtime and extra equipment and stuff like that. Fine. So he's a business person. Good.
Yeah.
I want that guy to have extra money because I want to motivate him.
Yes.
Now, okay. Well, how does this apply? This applies to guys building freeways, but it doesn't apply to the school system.
Or homelessness.
Or homelessness, or it doesn't apply to anything else. It's just this one thing. This one thing, when the guy's properly motivated, he comes in and kicks ass. Don't you think there's a school system version of this or a homeless version of this? So it only works in this arena. And then in other arenas, the government works perfectly. I disagree.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's only one modality, and that's this one. Now, your job is to take it and try to apply it to as many things as you can. If the reason last year Matt, Porcelain Punisher, spent 2 hours on hold on the phone trying to get me an appointment at the DMV in Los Angeles is because they don't run like this contractor runs. They run like the guys building the 5 to the Burbank airport run. They're not incentivized.
They're not motivated.
And they're not motivated, and there is no invisible hand.
Yeah, there's very little conversation in our world about human motivation, which I find bewildering.
We just think people are good and they're going to do the right thing.
No.
There is good. You spent a little time over the vacation with the Philly cheese dog.
Yes, that's good. He's good.
They're as good as he is. Now, we were taking a walk. And Phil climbed into a fountain at a church, and he didn't want to leave.
I just sat there drinking it.
Stood in the fountain drinking while the fountain was on.
Adam was pulling as hard as he can. Come on, Phil. Let's go. Come on now. Come on. And he looked at him like, are you effing kidding me? I'm in the fountain.
Right. So what did Drew do? What did you
do, Drew? I pretended he had food.
Drew held his hand and went, what'd you do, Drew? What's your move?
Find it. Come on, Phil. I knew I'd been trained with the food.
Right.
And he knew. He remembered me and the food because I give him a little food here when he shows up and sits for things.
So is Phil good or Phil bad? I don't know. He's neither. He wants food.
He came up to you and went, I knew you were kidding. Yeah. He was like, I knew you know everything.
But now what we want is like, why can't Phil do the right thing? Like, because he doesn't. Because he needs to be motivated.
He wanted the fountain.
He wanted the fountain more than he wanted
anything.
Well, no. Sorry.
Except food.
He wanted the food more than he wanted the fountain. He was in the fountain, and minus the food, he's not going anywhere.
That's right.
All right. Go ahead, Drew.
Simply Safe Home Security. It's like getting commercial-grade security for your own home. If there's a break-in, they use real video evidence to give police the eyewitness account. That means police dispatch up to 350% faster than a normal burglar alarm. It's a comprehensive protection, outdoor cameras, video doorbells, entry, motion, glass, brake sensors, all monitored 24/7 by live professionals. This is technological advance, everybody. This is Simply Safe. Set it up yourself. No tools needed. You can move with it. They'll do it for you if you want. Just 50 cents a day with no contract. Go to Simply Safe with an I, simplysafe.com/Adam2. That is number 2. Right now, for a free Simply Safe security camera to help you capture crucial evidence for police and get that 350% faster dispatch, it's normally $100. Today, it is free at Simply Safe, SimpliSafe.com/Adam2, Simply Safe Home Security.
All right.
We put cameras all over the place now.
Oh, yeah.
There was a break-in right next to us. What?
I'm laughing because I was literally laying in bed the night after you were discussing the home invasion, and I weigh everything in when I talk to whomever I'm talking to. So there's people I talk to that are dead nuts on, and then there are people I talk to who are always off, and then there are people I speak to that are a little hysterical and like a little hyperbole, as I've mentioned with Dr. Drew on a few occasions. Mm-hmm. And so when Drew and I were talking Simply Safe on the road with Philly, and he said, there's a home invasion next door to my house or across the street, across the way from my house. And I said, home invasion? Because Drew lives in a very nice neighborhood, and he's on a cul-de-sac. And I said, home invasion? And he went, well, yeah. And I went, home invasion? And he said, they came home during the robbery. And I was like, okay. that's what I picture on your street, but I don't picture home invasion.
I picture
coming home.
Yes.
And that's why when you said home invasion, you know why I didn't listen.
The home invasion is because they continued when the woman was there with and scared the living hell out of her.
They tie her up or something?
They didn't tie her up. They sort of threatened her and kept going. And.
You know. So you got to get protection. But it's why I circle back with you.
Yeah.
There are others I wouldn't have. And then others I wouldn't have thought the house was robbed at all. They were trying. Well, they were. There were almost full-size raccoons that were in the attic. That's an invasion of sorts. Like, they're people I wouldn't listen to at all. And then the people I think were saying exactly what saying. And then Drew, where I had to just circle back, because I know he likes a little
hyperbole.
A little hysteria meets
maybe.
Hyperbole.
Yeah.
A little. So you're wired. You got the chick wiring.
Been drinking too much of those plastic, out of plastic bottles too much.
Turning into a...
The estrogen's getting to me.
To a lady. Yeah. So what do you think about the sperm count going down like it is?
I think, Gary, what was that number of podcasts I did with a guy that had a whole scientific theory about this? And I was persuaded by the end that there's something going on. And it's really the amount of plastics we're using might be leaching estrogenic sorts of compounds into our – and, you know, it doesn't – when you talk about biological systems, if they're huge ends, meaning huge numbers in the biological systems you're talking about, small changes in the biology can create huge changes in outcome. You know what I mean? I mean, you can make like salmon like not swim upstream just because they get three less days of sunlight or something. Yeah, I'm not saying that's the case, but very relatively small inputs can create really meaningful changes in behavior.
Don't you also think that the behavior, or not the behavior, but this activity that are doing less masculine male testosterone driven
rising too, raising the masculine activities will raise testosterone levels too.
Right. So, and I don't know if testosterone levels help with the sperm count or not.
Yes, they that's do. One of the theories.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's go back 100 years. Mm-hmm. 80% of men did a job that a man could do. There were 20% who were accountants, things that, you know, a female could do it, a male could do it, things like a job such as being a nurse today. That could be male or female, really doesn't matter. It's right down the middle. Maybe there are even more males being attracted to it now or whatever, but it's neither here nor there. Back in the day, if you were a diesel mechanic, you were a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were a secretary, you were a woman. And so we had jobs for men and jobs for women. And there's not a lot of lumberjacking now and
not so much
fixing, working a boiler on a steam train. There's a lot of co-ed jobs.
Yeah.
Everyone has kind of moved in, went to a, you know, if you think about many of the jobs you're thinking about in your world, you'd go, well, who's going to be the next engineer? Who's going to be the next graphic designer? Who's going to run the website? And you'd go, I don't know, male or female. Like, there is no real difference inherently. There's a couple of roofer jobs where you kind of picture a dude carrying the shingles up the ladder or whatever. But the more we become this sort of unisex world, why do we need the testosterone? Why do we need the sperm? We're in the same office competing for the same cubicle job.
Well, and the competing is sort of an interesting word too. If you listen to Jordan Peterson, he talks an awful lot about hierarchies. And one of the things about moving up a hierarchy is it raises your testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to eliminate hierarchies, that's another way we're going to flatten out that biology.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have talked about that, right?
Right.
There's no recognition of hierarchies.
Right.
And therefore no striving to move through a hierarchy.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, it's all, you know, I used to talk about on Loveline all the time, which is we're basically started at the base of an X and we're all heading up to that cross in the middle of the X. And at some point, the guys will sail past the women the other direction.
And what's the weird, though, about all this is that the men will become more estrogenized.
But no, yeah.
But the... You know, talking to Megan Dahm about her book, Problem with Everything, and I know she's a big fan of yours, she was talking about how really things were more androgynous during the 70s and 80s. Remember when things were sort of what do they call that? Metrosexual and all that. Remember that stuff?
Yes, David Bowie stuff.
Yeah, sort of go back to those days. And that all seems like quaint and weird now compared to what it is now. And yet, although that was a high-value status, metrosexual and sort of androgyny back then, it didn't seem to have the same impact.
Well, let me take a swing at that pinata.
Yeah.
That was done for show.
Artists.
That was like David Bowie.
So it was artistic, you know what I mean? Explorations.
And yeah, that was a cabaret.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like these things were done. That was, I should say, Rocky Horror Picture. Like that stuff was done with flair and done as a sort of performance art. It wasn't a way of life. You know what I mean? There was just, oh, look at that freak show over there with the boa, and he's wearing high heels and blah, blah, blah. So there was a lot of androgyny on display, but David Bowie would go do his androgynous, and then he'd go hammer a check and bang a supermodel. Like, that was the show. Yeah. But that we weren't living there.
Not certainly not as much.
No, not at,
cause I remember
not
there
as
was
much at all. Yeah. It was considered like, it was a drag show. Like, I remember there was the Queen Mary was a drag place. It was a total bizarre novelty. And it was on Ventura Boulevard. It was a drag bar. It had a great name, the Queen Mary. And we just passed by that place all the time, like going, what the fuck goes on in there? But it was a complete and utter novelty.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it existed. It was just a novelty. It's not a daily whatever transitioning whoever whatever.
Right, right, right.
There was a great God, I'm going to think of the tweet, but it sort of encapsulates exactly what I think and kind of what we're talking about. Oh, I think it was Ron Funches. Ron Funches tweet?
Yeah. It is. I can pull it up.
It made me laugh because it's like it's so where I'm at with all this stuff. Anyway, first I'll tell you about Tommy John. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. They don't give a F. They give three Fs. Fabric, fit, function. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. No wedgie guaranteed. Comfortable stay-put waistbands. Luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching up and no riding up. You'll love it. I don't know. I think I'm going pretty festive today, Drew.
Let's see. Oh.
Look like a Christmas stocking.
Now, they're pinstriped. You want with a red, bright red band.
You want your stocking stuffer, you got to reach all the way down to the bottom of the stocking.
Wow.
Drew. That's
wow.
Where I'll your stay over present
here.
Is.
I'll stay over here.
These things are great, man, and I've been hopping in the pool with them and hanging them out to dry and then just wearing them again. I don't even put them through the wash machine anymore. They've got over 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom's stores nationwide if you want to just go buy them. But just go online and get them. It's so easy. Yeah. They're the best. They're Tommy John, right, man?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/ADS for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/ADS for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/ADS.
It was Ron.
Unfortunately, he deleted it. But I saw it, and I can help you paraphrase.
Did he delete it because he didn't want to get into trouble?
I can't say for sure, but I presume so. I presume that.
Well, don't be an attorney. But no one deletes shit unless they. No one deletes emails unless they think there's some shit there, right?
Yeah, right.
But I liked it.
I wonder if you retweeting it and exposing it to a much, much larger audience might have spooked him. Mm. But he didn't delete it immediately because I definitely saw it.
Yeah, it was a link to a, I don't know, UK article where a male had given birth.
Oh, yeah.
And with his transgender or bi-mutual or gay of Omaha.
Yeah, whatever. No, they were both sort of, we couldn't tell. And
non-binary.
And Ron essentially said, none of my business.
Yeah, he's like, who gives a fuck? Like, good for you. Now, who gives a fuck? Which is like, that's the way I feel. Like, do whatever the fuck you want, but let's please... Such shouting it from the mountaintop. live your truth, but you don't have to douse me with your truth all the time. So Ron sort of went, good for you. Why the fuck would I care? Which is, to me...
It wasn't even that negative. It just, it's none of my business. None of my business.
No.
He did? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
The more, or Drew. Or, you know, Gary's got a pretty good mind for this. How do you recall it?
I read it as kind of a... He laid out all of the non-binary, all the differences. He kind of laid out the absurdity and just said,
that's a different tweet.
I don't think so. I think it's the one you're talking about. He basically gave the headline from the article itself, which had, you know, transgender male has baby with non-binary partner. And then at the end it said, sounds like none of my business.
Ah,
no.
That's what I recall. That's the thing.
No, he said, good for you.
Oh, right. Right.
His response was, good for you, or I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Why should I give a fuck again, or something, or it sounds like none of my fucking business. Like, he wasn't that magnanimous about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Gary doesn't remember it that way.
That he quoted a tweet, I believe.
Oh, he did. So, this goddamn Twitter onion, you just keep peeling it. So I never know who did what or where it came from. I don't even know. Drew's on his phone.
I'm on my phone because I think I retweeted it. And I'm looking to see. You know what? I liked it.
But somebody took it down because they felt like that was some sort of transgression against the trans community. See what I did there? Mm-hmm. That's my look. The ultimate evolvement, whether you're talking about the trans community or the black community or the female community or whatever, when somebody says, as a female of color, and my answer is, I don't care what you are. Let's just talk policy. That's the ultimate evolution of whatever Martin Luther King was talking about, was I'm not interested in any of this stuff. And if you give birth, that's fine. But I don't need to cheer it or condemn it. That's your life. That's your uterus. It's your offspring, and you may do what you want with it. But you don't need to foist it upon me. How about that? Drew shuts up.
I think that's fair enough.
I know. But you talk all the time, except for if we get into any of this stuff, then you do a lot of nodding.
I think it's fine. I think that would be correct. I'm sure what he got back was, you should be concerned because people are being murdered for asserting their transgender identity. Again, that data is...
How much of that is going on?
I know. That data,
how many homeless people die?
Three a day.
All right. How many transgender people die in Los Angeles?
None that I've heard of.
Less?
Recently. Yeah.
Okay. So what should we do? Should we go big to small, or how do you want to do
this? I would like to go big to small.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Let's see. What else are you thinking about there, Jersky?
I got your cardiology report.
Oh, you did?
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. It's so funny. I had a conversation with the guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know you were having chest pain.
It's a weird thing. I wasn't having chest pain. I was having like chest pressure, which I've experienced before. It's because I take it to the exquisitely stressful year I had last year.
I didn't know that was – you're telling me something I didn't really realize.
What?
That last year was that severely stressful for you.
It was.
Because?
There's a sort of business and a personal. The business side is I go out and just work and run and run and run. The personal side is I live with people who don't adopt anything that I'm espoused. There's no Vinny diet. There's no hard work and exercise. Like, it's all just – it's like living with – conscientious objectors
to the Corolla lifestyle, to the new the Adam
right
Corolla.
So it's like when you live with that, there's a certain amount of stress because you're like constantly going like, hey, enough with the pasta, we got to have the whatever, and then it just becomes stressful. I don't think people really it's easy when
it's
you're
not, it's the opposite of thriving.
Well, it is in my world.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
in my world is, here's what Vinny says, let's just do what Vinny says, and then that's translates into, you know, big bowl of Frosty Flakes for breakfast, and I'm like, I don't want this. And then at some point, it translates into stress because how else would it manifest itself?
Yeah, just uncomfortable.
Then you get into this mode where you're like, okay, have the frosted flakes because I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
But now that's
you're shutting down.
You're essentially shutting down. So there's a stressful part of my life that's just home life.
Yeah.
And then there's the running.
Is that because of the documentary stuff or?
A bunch of stuff just happened to land at the same time.
It's funny. I remember the year before, I think, was with all the Catch a Contractor, and that schedule was
super crazy. That was probably a few years before, but okay. there was a book deal that sort of landed at the end with a sort of got to finish it by the first of the year kind of a proclamation.
Got it.
There was a, you know, No Safe Spaces, which we'd been working on for 2.5 years. Now it's coming out. We got to get to Phoenix, and we need you in Phoenix to plug the thing, and then you can go to Utah and do the shows.
And then you started doing more stand-up and stuff, too, and more shows.
Yeah, I was doing more stand-up, and that's true, but it's just the schedule became about as busy as I could possibly be. Mm. So I was like constantly in this, I don't know, I don't know what to call it, fight or flight or something, but it's like every day I was like, they want you to do this.
They call it harried.
Harried. I was harried, yes. They want you to come do this. The guys, the Safe Space guys, want you to come on Tucker Carlson after doing the podcast. It was like, and we had some docs drop. And it's, you know, it's all self-imposed. It just all kind of
comes at once.
Showed up at the same time. And so I've had it before. I've had it before where I had a very stressed period.
Well, now the cardiologist was not making a lot of your stress.
Well, I felt I manifested this pressure.
No, I understand what you're saying, but do you remember what the cardiologist was taking real issue with?
He wasn't taking real issue with anything. He was like, how often do you smoke? He said, 2 cigarettes a night. And he's like, that's weird. I was like,
that must stop. Get a calcium scan, an echo, quick. He's exposed to tobacco.
He wants a calcium scan.
Which I'm doing one. We should go together. I'm going in about a week.
All right, let's hold hands. And then and he's like, how often do you drink? I was like, 2 highballs a night. And he's like, what? Really? I was like, yes. And I agree both of them should either be cut into or gone away.
Cigarette is what he made an issue of in the note. That's what came through.
Well, I don't know if anyone. I think if you ever tell someone, I smoke 2 cigarettes a night. That's what I do. Yeah. They go. It's somewhere they don't believe. They just hear smoker. I guess. I don't know.
In the cardiologist,
I do miss days. I do miss days as well. Like if I'm traveling or whatever.
You've always been like this. And look, having gotten deeper into the categories of nicotine addiction recently, I was sort of studying some of that stuff. And there are definitely people that are like you. Not everyone is. There are degrees of nicotine use and addiction. Period.
Okay. I don't think we have time in the show to get into that. Did you take care of your list?
No, let me talk about it. LifeLock. 267 million Facebook users had their names, IDs, and phone numbers exposed. Made them targets for spam, phishing, scams, identity theft. You could miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. I mean, think about it, especially if it's a child or something who got they get a hold of it, that sort of credit profile. No, you'd miss the whole thing. Well, there's a good thing there's LifeLock that detects a wide range of identity threats, something like, say, your social security number for sale on the dark web. If you become a victim of identity theft, U.S.-based restoration specialists will work to fix it. Of course, we like the convenience of the internet, but you know, there's a little added expense to that if you want to protect yourself. And that's why it's a good thing there is LifeLock. Right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
All right. Shelby American premiere this Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, Montauban Theater. Nice. Drew's going to be there.
Yeah.
And you can be there as well. We'll have some of the Shelby family in there and other notables as well.
Go to it's on my calendar.
AdamCarolla.com and check that out. No Safe Spaces out as we speak. Yeah. And go to NoSafeSpaces.com. Crank Yankers, is that still on? 10:30 Wednesday nights on Comedy Central. Check that out. subscribe to my YouTube channel. And coming up, Milwaukee, Pabst Theater in Chicago, Park West, coming up January 24th, 25th. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Drew?
Go to DrDrew.com. Please sign up at DrDrew.tv, and you get a blast when we do the live show on Sunday. Call-in, interactive, sort of Loveline-esque type show. And everything's at DrDrew.com. Don't forget After Dark.
And check out Trending and True Trending and True Crime. Too awesome. True Crime Podcast. And it's on Podcast One as well.
Oh, wait. I did my own little documentary. It's it's a character I deal with at your mom's house. A guy named Robert Paul Champagne, who I interview. And now the home tour is going to be available. So look out for that.
So until next time, I'm Crow for Dr. Drew. Say mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.